Well, how's that for an elaborate introduction? You know, I just feel like I might as well just get with it instead of playing a bunch of music that you really don't like. And, you know, I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh all the time. And he told me how I needed to think. Not really. I do miss him, though. He was an outstanding broadcaster. And I did agree with most of what he said. But that's beside the point. I'm here to talk about cars and the car business and the EV world, the electric vehicle world. Yeah, you know, I am a car dealer, real-life car dealer. I have a Ford dealership in Greenville, Tennessee, and a Nissan dealership, and they happen to be on the same 5.5 acres here in Upper East Tennessee. And we've been here for 51 years in this town. My dad worked for Chevrolet Motor Division. He started in 1956. Now, he wasn't a dealer. He just was an employee of Chevrolet, you realize. Well, I guess technically he was an employee of General Motors, but he worked for the Chevrolet Motor Division. I think his check said Chevrolet Motor Division on it. And so he had a really good career. He started off as a district manager in Bridgeport, West Virginia. And that happened to be my first home. I was born in 56. And then he was promoted and moved to a different district in Huntington, West Virginia, which is really close to the Ohio River. Yeah. And then his next post was at the zone office in Charleston, big city of Charleston. No. Not South Carolina. Every time I say Charleston, people say, oh, South Carolina? No, there's another Charleston, and it happens to be the capital of a state, right there on the Kanawha River. Yeah, but we lived in a little town called St. Albans, West Virginia, which was across the Kanawha River from a little town called Nitro, West Virginia, where my mother grew up. Yeah, her father was an old country doctor there in Nitro, Dr. Leonard Iverson Hoke. I am actually named after him. That's why my name is really not Lenny. It's Leonard. Leonard Blaine Lawson. Named after my other grandfather, my dad's dad as well. So a lot of historical names going on here. But Dad decided one day in the late 60s, that he didn't want to work for General Motors anymore. He wanted to be a General Motors dealer. So he put in his letter of resignation. It doesn't mean that you quit. It's a different type of letter. It says, I want to become a Chevy dealer. So they don't just, you know, you don't say bye-bye. You just keep working, and they try to find you stores that were for sale. They probably don't do that anymore. But back then, a lot of the people who became dealers were actually employees of GM or Ford or whatever first. So they found him multiple dealerships. They found one in Lenore, North Carolina, that was for sale. One in, Marion, Indiana, Richmond, Kentucky, and Greenville, Tennessee. And so my mom and dad would leave us with the grandparents there in Nitro and go touring around to these different places. And they really... After seeing all those different locations, they didn't like Greenville because they came here on a rainy day and they saw the worst parts of Greenville. So they wrote it off the list, and then they didn't like Marion, Indiana. They liked Richmond, but it was more expensive, and so they settled on Lenore, North Carolina. So my dad worked out a deal with the dealer, and they agreed to terms. Now, that's a long process. It's not like, say, hey, will you take this? You know, it's not that quick of a deal. It's pretty complicated with lawyers and stuff like that. A lot of paperwork involved. So Dad left our home in St. Albans and drove to Lenore, North Carolina, and got in a hotel room and had dinner with the dealer the night before. Went back to the hotel room, got up the next morning, and he's sitting there shaving in the mirror, and all of a sudden the phone rings. And he said, well, shoot, and wipes his face off, goes over and grabs the telephone. And it's that dealer that he was supposedly selling his dealership to my dad. And he said, Max, I just can't do it. Well, my dad was devastated. you know, and he tried to, he went over and met with him and tried to convince him, but he wasn't changing. He was going to, decided to keep it. My dad was so disappointed. So he comes back to West Virginia and tells my mom, and obviously she was disappointed too. I didn't know anything about it, really. One of his buddies said, Max, you need to look at Greenville, Tennessee. Well, his buddy was actually a lawyer, and he did a lot of work for Magnavox. Well, one of the largest Magnavox plants in the country was in Greenville, Tennessee at the time. So he said, Max, he was also a pilot, so he would fly down, land at the Greenville airport. And so he said, Max, let's fly down there, and we'll just rent a car, and we'll drive around and look at the place. So they did. And it was a bright, beautiful, sunny day. And you know how pretty East Tennessee is on a bright, beautiful, sunny day when you can see the mountains and so forth. And so Dad said, you know, this doesn't look that bad. So they flew back. Mom and Dad got in the car, drove back down, started looking for houses. Made an offer to the dealer and ended up being a new car dealer. Now, back then, they had this this division of General Motors called Motors Holding, and it was a financing arm of General Motors, kind of like financing cars, except they didn't finance cars, they financed dealerships. And so my dad had to come up with a certain amount of capital, and he borrowed some money from his father-in-law, believe it or not, who was a doctor in Nitro, like I said. And then he borrowed the rest from Motors Holding. And we became Chevrolet dealer in Greenville, Tennessee. That was his first day was August 1, 1971. And I was 14. My brother was 16. And the rest is history. You know, we've been here in this town. We became a Mazda dealer in, 1977. And that was a great brand for us for many years. And then we ended up becoming an Oldsmobile dealer, and we took on some partners to so that we could expand. And we got Mitsubishi, which I could have lived without that. We ended up becoming a Ford dealer, so I bought the Ford dealership in 2005 with partners. And then we bought a Toyota dealership in Bristol, Tennessee, and little tiny itty-bitty Chevrolet dealership over in Marshall, North Carolina. And then I was partners in another Chevrolet dealership down in Morristown, Tennessee. And what else? I guess that's pretty much it. That's enough, though, isn't it? That kept me busy. You know, one of the things that I found out, though, being involved in multiple dealerships, is that was not something that I really enjoyed. Because it seemed like all I did was meet with people. I didn't have a chance to, you know, really get involved in the culture of one store. It was dealing with multiple cultures and just dealing with the top people in the stores. You didn't get to know the mechanics. You know, I'd walk through the dealership and people would say, who's that guy? That's one of the owners. You know, I just don't like that. That's just not me. And I don't think that was my dad either. We just liked the personal touch too much. And, you know, just the ability to get to know your employees and know their who their families are, how many kids they have, where they're from, you know, just really, I don't know. You know, we're used to having employees that work with us for 15, 20, 25 years and longer and retire here. I mean, that's our goal. That's rare, though, these days. People change jobs a lot, as you know. But that's a little bit of our history and how we ended up in the car business. And I basically started in 1978. It was interesting. My dad said, Lenny, if you will agree, I'm going to send you to college and, you know, we'll figure out a way to pay for it and so forth. But if you agree to come back and work for me at the dealership for at least 5 years, we'll sign a contract and, you know, you come back and the dealership will pay for your college education. I said, whoa, that's a pretty good deal. I didn't know if I wanted to be a car dealer or not. I knew what my brother was going to be. He wanted to be a doctor. And he wanted to follow in my grandfather's footsteps, and he became a cardiologist. And so both of our careers start with car. In fact, he's a cardiologist, and I'm a car salesman. See? Isn't that cool? Of course, mine is one of the most trusted professions in the business world. I mean, you know, you don't really get higher on the ethical scale than a car salesman, right? Are you laughing? Well, I know. I know how it is. I know how people feel. And, you know, it's those of us who have always tried to do things right and learn the right way to sell, you know, basically not selling, but helping people to buy things, you know, educating them and giving them the information that they need so that they can make a good decision. I think that has not been necessarily the philosophy of a lot of salespeople. So anyway, my brother's a really good doctor. He's getting ready to retire. I told him I'm going to be probably 25% retired. And that's going to be it. I just enjoy being around all these young folks and helping them to learn the car business and business in general and all the other things that I think that I can pass on to them. I also love playing with cars and helping people. Through this radio program, I get to help a lot of folks. You know, I really appreciate that level of confidence. When people call me and say, "Hey, Lenny, what's this worth? What should I pay for this? What's my car worth? What should I get for it on trade? Is 9.7% a good interest rate? Lenny, my car is making a weird noise. Can you help me figure that out?" Well, could you back it up to the phone and rev it up a few times? No, I don't tell people that. I have them bring it to my dealership many times. Or sometimes I just call another dealer and say, "I've got this listener to my radio show, and they're having a problem with your dealership right now. And I know you don't want them to have a problem with it." Because I know all these guys in East Tennessee. You know, when I call them, you know, they say, hey, Lenny, how's it going? So we have a good conversation. Now, if you live in Texas or Minnesota, even California, you know, I can call a Ford dealer where you are or a Nissan dealer or any dealer. I tell them I'm a dealer, and that gives me a little bit of leverage and help you solve a problem. So, you know, this is I look at it as my ministry, quite frankly. God has blessed me with a certain amount of knowledge as far as the car business is concerned and a good career and, you know, a certain degree of success. And I'd like to be able to take that and serve other people with it. You know, cars are a really important part of your life. You know, I call it your car life. Everybody has one. If your car life is out of sorts, then your whole life is, because you can't get around. And a lot of folks get abused in this business. That's just a sad commentary, but people have gotten abused in a lot of different types of businesses. It's not just the car business. It just happens that cars happen to be such a big part of our lives. And, you know, you can make a pretty big mistake with just not paying attention to the details. So in this radio show, I do my best to try to help people make good decisions, buying, selling, trading, servicing, you know, getting body work and whatever type of automotive question that they have. So that's what we do. All right, I'll take my first break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, so this EV, electric vehicle revolution, is coming. I guess it's coming. They say it's coming. You read it in the press, and that's all they want to talk about. I'm looking at Automotive News edition. It's the August 22nd edition. I found it on my office manager's desk. She's not supposed to capture my automotive news. So I was just reading about this dealer who is setting up his EV charging system, and he's putting in the DC chargers, which are the Level 3 chargers. Those are the ones that will charge your electric vehicle the fastest. So you can get about from what I understand on a Tesla, for example, you can get about an 80% charge in 40 minutes. And that's what they're saying on the Ford Mach-E. The Ford Lightning has such big batteries, it takes longer on it. So, but anyway, they got the EV chargers, and they're also setting up a Starbucks at their dealership. So that's cool. You know, if somebody has something to, added value that they can add to an experience, you know, what kind of things would you like to see car dealerships offer that they don't right now? I mean, you go in there to get your car serviced. Sometimes you have to sit there for a while. You know, they typically have what, televisions. They have bathrooms, which are important. What else do they would be nice that they have? Well, I built a dealership one time. I put in a soda fountain. It was called Mountain Mazda Mitsubishi. That was our dealership. And I thought it'd be really cool to build this big bar and have bar stools and you know, serve. We didn't serve any alcoholic beverages, but we had coffee and all the different Coca-Cola products, and we brought in snacks and stuff, and also built an exercise room where my customers could come in, and while they're getting their car serviced, they could work out. Well, I'd like to say that, well, the fountain thing was a success, okay? I'd like to say that the exercise thing was a success, but it wasn't. You know, when people come to get their oil changes, they don't mind having a drink, but they don't want to work out, especially in East Tennessee. Now, maybe in, you know, some really active area where you had a lot of young fitness-crazed people. I guess back then in the early 2000s, there weren't a lot of fitness-crazed folks. So there are other things that I guess we could do for our customers. You know, maybe have a reading room, you know, a quiet room. Place for their kids to play. We've had that for a lot of years. Free Wi-Fi. You know, that used to be a big deal. It's not anymore. It's expected. So, you know, the thing, though, that most people, I believe, want out of their car dealer is just get me in and get me out and fix it right the first time, right? And be nice, you know, and we want our customers to be nice. Normally, customers are very nice unless they feel like they're being taken advantage of. And so one of the things I want to talk about today is just communication and communicating with your dealer. You know, if you own, let's say you own a Lexus, you need to have a great relationship with the service advisors that work there. It's nice to know somebody in the sales department to maintain those relationships. You know, when I was a salesperson full time, we were trained to, of course, send thank you cards, to do follow-up calls, to call our customers every 90 days. Just to make, not to sell them anything, just to make sure everything was okay with their car. I always try to make my customers service appointments for them. If you want to, you know, if you need an oil change or something, just call me. You don't have to go through the switchboard. Just call me, and I'll take care of it for you. And they really liked that. But then I became a manager, and I stopped doing that, and all those people were orphans. And there's a lot of what we call orphaned owners that, you know, their salesperson has moved on. First of all, the salespeople rarely follow up. And it's so easy. You know, my most successful salespeople follow up, and they stick with their customers. And they not only, you know, send them a thank you card and call them every 90 days, but they send them a Christmas card and a birthday card for themselves, and when their car is 1 year old, they get a birthday card for their car too. And they'll normally stick in something in there, like some, you know, coupons to a movie or to a place to eat or something like that. You know, when you connect with somebody like that, and you become what I call their car guy. You know, just like I think those relationships are valuable. I mean, when I have air conditioning problems, I know who to call. I call my air conditioning guy. And he comes to my house. I have a carpenter. You know, I have a lawyer. I don't like to call him. I have, you know, a plumber. You know, when we have those people, we want them to be accessible. And we want them to kind of prioritize us, don't we? You know, when I go into my doctor's office or someplace, I'd like for them to look up and say, "Hey, Lenny, how's it going? Isn't that valuable? Don't you like being known and valued, really?" That's the kind of car dealer that you need to find. You need to find, I tell you what, if I was shopping around for a car salesman, I would walk up to the receptionist and I'd say, "Who's your best car salesperson? Who's the nicest, the one that follows up the most and takes care of their customers? Because she knows who they are and she knows who they aren't." So, you know, that would be the first place to go. You know, if you find yourself turned off by a salesperson or a service advisor, tell the business, you know, tell the managers. They need to know that. It makes them, you know, helps them fine-tune their business and make it better. But, you know, a lot of people, you may be one, you don't like to complain. You don't like to muddy the water. You know, I had somebody tell me, said, "Don't ever complain at a restaurant because, you know, they'll take that food back. Ain't no telling what they do to it." Gosh, is that true? I hope it's not. because I don't really complain. I don't try to put people down or anything, but it is important to put the information where it's going to do some good, and that's with the people who are running the place. I always appreciate a complaint. I didn't used to. When I was younger, I was a little bit defensive. And it's tough, I think, on younger people because they're used to being competitive. And some people just absorb the complaint and the yelling and stuff like that and then are able to turn it around and calm the person down just by their calm demeanor. My dad was really good at that. I wasn't at first. That's a learned thing, maybe. Maybe it's something that certain people can do naturally, but it wasn't for me. I didn't take insults very well, especially when it wasn't my fault. You know, when the mechanic screws up, I'm just the service advisor. He's the guy that screwed up, but I'm the one that has to take the beating. And but I did learn that the customer didn't look at it that way. I work here, and I'm responsible. And that's the way you want your employees to think, too. All right, I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. You know, find your special place. That's what I recommend. Some place where you can go back to. I know sometimes people's, their needs change. They see some hot new car and they decide to go to another dealership and buy it. And then they have to start all over again. You know, if you have a Chevrolet dealer, for example, that you really like and you've done a bunch of business with them and you tell them that, you know, you'd really like to have a Lincoln this time, I bet you they can get you one. Or they can recommend you to one of their friends at the Ford Lincoln store, and you can get a good experience, and they can follow up, and they can retain you and still be your car guy. You know, I want to be your car guy, too, if on remote control. That's what the Car Guru is kind of about, is helping other people make good decisions, buying, selling, trading, servicing, getting your car fixed, you know, under any circumstance, whether it's crashed or the motor's blown up. I can help. Just call me, 423-552-2020, or you can reach me at LennyLawson2020@gmail.com. That's LennieLawson2020@gmail.com.